for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, July the 2nd, 2008. Nathan Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Spirit of Heaviness.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to tell you something. See, I've been around you Cajuns too much, you know. That's right. You know, we were talking the other night about the different languages. Well, when I was just a teenager, I left home and went up into North Dakota. Now, television has standardized the language in America. It really has. Because back then, when I went up there, if somebody wanted something from you, they'd say, hey, you'll come in once. Where are you going once? Where are you going already? That's a foreign language to an old Texas boy, I'll tell you. But then we have our language out in Texas, as I mentioned. You know, we had a preacher in our hometown growing up there named Bob Ware. But when you're out in Texas and you hear somebody say Bob Ware, they're usually saying Bob Ware.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about that preacher. They're talking about barbed wire. It's Bob Wire.
He thought Bob was a wire all the
time. And but we understand each other. I can even understand these Cajuns. See, I got two Cajun buddies now. This one and one down in Deer Park, Texas, named Charles Provost.
Y'all adopted.
Yeah, we adopted him. We might adopt you. Anyway, you know, coming up here this afternoon, I kind of feel a little bit like a lion in a den full of Daniels with all these good preachers around. Hello? And that good preacher last night, he stole my message. But you're going to get it anyway. It's got a little different name and all that. But anyway, we're going to lay it on you here in a minute anyway. All right. See, they gave it to me pretty early, and I've got till 5:15 anyway. No. We'll be out before then. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. I'm going to read the first three verses of this chapter, but I'm really just going to concentrate on verse 3. Isaiah 61. This is where Jesus in Luke 4:19 stands up when he goes back to Jerusalem after his temptation, to Bethlehem, and stands up to read. It's a kind of amazing thing. Jesus stood up to read and sat down to preach. Did you ever notice that? So let's stand up to read the scripture.
Yeah, we hadn't got all.
But I'm not going to sit down to preach. Well, I got to move. You're going to lay it on you, Bubba. All right. Isaiah chapter 1. Or chapter 61, verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance from our God, comfort all who mourn. In verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask Your anointing upon the preaching and the hearing of the Word.
Yes.
That, Father, that truly this will just flow right into everything that's been said here so far. And we praise You and we thank You. We pray for that anointing to fall upon this preacher. But we pray for that anointing to fall upon the ears of those who are listening. And Father, we give You praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 turn around and look at somebody and say, you're in the right place at the right time. Glory. And then you may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. Like I don't think you were in here, Brother Hill, but I said last night you completely stole my message. But that's all right. I'm going to preach mine anyway. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I want to read that verse 3 again out of the Amplified Bible. I don't know whether you like the Amplified or not, but I do. I think it's really good. It amplifies things, doesn't it? That's why they call it Amplified. And here's what it says. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment and the expression of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And everything that we want to do, we want to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, I grew up, and I tell this all the time, but I grew up in the First Church of the Frozen Chosen. And, I mean, if anybody had ever said out loud, amen, out loud in there, they'd have looked around at you and, you know, you some kind of fanatic, you know, weirdo or something. Anybody else come out of that kind of background? Well, I'm not going to tell you what brand either. I want to, too, but I won't. You're keeping me honest there, brother. Good. Now, the other verse I want us to look at is Psalm 119, verse 28. And I have it written down here in my notes, so I don't have to turn there. But it's just a very short verse. It says, my soul melts with heaviness, or from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, have you picked up already the key to what I want to talk about today? One word in verse 3 and one word in this one. What is it? Heaviness. Heaviness. I want to talk to us about dealing with the spirit of heaviness. Now, I do a lot of prison ministry. Back over here in Northeast Texas, I go to the Coalfield Unit, which is a unit of 4,400 beds, and most of the men who are incarcerated there are what is known in the vernacular as toe-taggers. That means their lifers are going to be there, and when they leave there, they'll leave on a gurney with a sheet over their face and a tag on their toe. But I want you to know something. There's some men in that unit that love God. Now, there's some in there that express jailhouse religion. I understand that. But there's some men in there that, well, I'll tell you, I want them to pray for me when I go there. And you never know, you know, but there is even those guys that are really turned on to the Lord, there is always a spirit of heaviness. I remember a couple of years ago when I was there, it might have been 3 years ago, I'm not sure. But anyway, right over here on this side, and the chapel there at the Coalfield Unit was built by the Catholic Church, and it's a typical Catholic Church building. Long and narrow, seat about 500 or 600 people. And right back over here in about the second or third row, there was this great big tall black man, about like this. And he looked at me while I was up there preaching. He looked at me. I thought, man, if that guy had a shiv, he'd stick me here in a little bit, you know. I really did. I was worried about it. But I want you to know, with that service, we had over 250 men. And it was a deliverance service. 250 men that came up for prayer. And when that big old guy came through that line, I mean, I looked up at him like this. Big old tears running down both sides of his face. I tell you, they mean business. Those guys that are in there and not ever going to get out, they mean business. They either really get it or they just play like it. But those that really get it mean business. But even those guys have to struggle with heaviness at times. It's you know, just imagine if you can. And I know about you and I, but in these days we're often assailed with a feeling of weariness and even at times despair. As Brother so adequately talked about last night, adequately and eloquently. Well, I'm from West Texas. I have to show you that I do know some big words. Weariness is always a heavy weight to bear. And it can be physical. Let me tell you something. If you are physically weary, it's going to encroach into your emotions, into your mental faculties and also into your spirit. Now, I learned this the hard way. And another thing to keep in mind, that all depression always follows along like a trail hound behind the spirit of heaviness. Because once you begin to get discouraged, disappointed, dejected, demoralized, you... He said all that this morning, didn't he? But, and here's something. The enemy of your soul seeks to cause despair in your life every day. Every day, the devil wants to tell you that you're a loser and not a winner. Anything negative that comes into your thought life, if it's not corrective in nature... Now, God sometimes will speak some negative things to you, but it's always corrective in nature. But if it's not corrective in nature, you can figure where it came from. The devil is a thief. He wants to steal your peace and your joy and everything else in your life. Now, here's one of the keys, though, that you need to really keep this in mind. This is one of those good sentences here. If we are in the least self-centered, we will have to deal with depression as the weight of the cares of this world overtake and will try to consume each one of us. I pastored church for right at 18 years. And everybody knew when I was on after the devil. Because before you can really chase the devil out of a congregation, you got to chase the flesh out first. Come on now. Well, you just don't know how she hurt me or how he hurt me. Just whine and carry on and go on. You know, I had three words for him. Get over it. Let me tell you, if you're 45 years old and you're still crying about what happened to you when you were a kid, get over it. Amen. Don't wallow in your misery any longer. And that is the flesh. Am I doing all right, brother?
I'm going to sit in the back.
Just get over it. Well, you know, John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. And too often... Even if we don't even know that verse of Scripture, too often we live in that verse of Scripture. You know, I grew up with and really dealt with in my life, and thanks to coming down here to Lake Hamilton and my association with Frank Hammond and others of that nature, Frank Marzullo, I finally got over some of it. But I had a spirit of criticism like you can't believe. Now, there was a time... when I'd hear these guys preaching, I'd sit back there and make notes what all they were doing wrong. But then I quit criticizing and started listening to what you were saying. And found out you were doing all right, both of you. You did all right. Well, you know, Doc Null went out of the room, but down it, and Brother... You'll remember down at Beaumont, he really did a fantastic job that night. He spoke down there, you know, on unforgiveness. And the next morning, it might have been later that night. Anyway, I went by him. I said, Doc, you know, I believe if you just keep working at it, you're going to make a real good preacher. He's forgot more than I'll ever know, you know, as far as that goes. He really did a fantastic job down there. He really did. Well, I remember one time I was visiting with one of our staff members at the church. And we were dealing with this kind of like a spirit of lethargy, complacency, apathy in the church. Now, if you're here and you're a pastor leading a church, you listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Because what comes out of your mouth and what you talk about, the church is going to basically adopt the personality of the leading person in it, the pastors. And what I did, I spoke into existence a spirit of weariness in our church. Because I was bivocational, working full-time, had a pretty important type job, and people would in the church would come up to, well, how you doing, Pastor? Well, I'm okay, but I'm just tired. Put a guard over your mouth. Yeah. And you know, the more I confess that, guess what? Oh, yeah. The tireder I got. Absolutely. And then that tiredness, that weariness, that heaviness began to permeate throughout the church. That's why I say you got to always watch your mouth and speak positive things. And that infiltrated our congregation. I'm okay. I'm just tired. And it got, I'm okay. I'm just tired. And then sometimes, I shouldn't say this. Sometimes you want to say, I'm okay. I'm just tired of you. You know, I always laughingly tell people this, but there's a little bit of truth to it. Pastoring would be a wonderful thing if it wasn't for the people. Oh, no. No, if you're a pastor, you got to love people, or you wouldn't last till the water gets hot. You have to love people. Where am I here now? But anyway, I just confess to you that I had spoken the feeling of tiredness and weariness into existence and given the enemy a legal right to permeate our church. Okay? Now, what did we do about it? Well, we began to take authority over the spirits of fatigue. You know, we think about unclean spirits. We think about all things that deal with sex and greed and money and all that sort of thing. But there are a lot of other things that we allow spirits to come into. Spirits of tiredness, spirits of fatigue, of disappointment, and all those D's that Brother talked about this morning and Brother talked about last night. Depression, and all of that. We begin to take authority over the spirits of fatigue, slumber, depression, oppression, exhaustion, anxiety, and worry. And these things will bring about spirits of heaviness, and we had to take authority over them and command them to leave. In Jesus' name. In doing that, we also had to face the facts that each one of us must participate in the freedom we could achieve through spiritual warfare, and it is the same way today. Now, this happened several years ago, long time ago. I've been retired from that other job for 10 years now. 10 years. I'm not as tired as I used to be. But I'm 13 years older, too. Oh, man. Well, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if any of these symptoms that I have mentioned are familiar to you, how are you dealing with them? You know, one of the greatest things I learned about deliverance is that, and I think Frank Marzullo was one of the ones that really opened this whole concept up to me, was self-deliverance. Self-deliverance. We have people running around all over the country, going to different ones, going to the Bijou's or the Hills or the Rosario's or somebody wanting deliverance. We need to teach them how to take care of themselves. You see, we come to a meeting like this, we are preparing you for the work of the ministry. That's what the fivefold ministry is all about, is to prepare you for the work of the ministry. Pastor's not supposed to do it all. Apostle's not supposed to do it all. Prophet's not. Evangelist is not. Teacher's not. We're to prepare the sheep, if you will. Now, let me throw something in right here that I really kind of gets in my craw. I got some things that get in my craw. One of them is the church world's distinction between clergy and laity. That's one of those things. I better get off that. Now, we have to know our enemy. The greatest commanders in warfare. And Brother gave a wonderful illustration last night by the arrowhead thing. I'll use that someplace. That was good. But that arrowhead thing. I love the story of Rommel. I didn't particularly like the movie because of the language in it, but I love the story of General Rommel and General Patton. Those two were probably the greatest military geniuses in World War II. We could use a good Patton again. But here's the thing about it. If you ever saw the movie about Patton with George C. Scott, then one thing, it kept flashing back to German headquarters, didn't it? And there was a colonel there that was, what was his primary duty? Was to find out everything he could about General Patton. They wanted to know how he thought. They wanted everything they could find out about him. Well, you know, the thing of it is, the Allies were doing the same thing about Rommel when he was in North Africa. Well, you shouldn't talk about the devil. You better know who your enemy is, and you better know how he works. You better know that he is as sneaky and subtle as what the Scripture says he is. He is as vicious as the Scripture says he is, and he seeks to steal, kill, and to destroy, and he wants to kill you. And he's not some little character running around in a red monkey suit with a forked tail and a pitchfork. He can come into your midst as a shining light. I think you told about that, didn't you? Didn't you go through this? One of you did. Somebody told us about something about a struggle you had. See, y'all was so good. I got y'all mixed up now. I don't know who said what. You know, both of you ought to buy that tape yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was one of them. Yeah. Okay. Now we're gonna deal with some of these unclean spirits in a little bit, and because I was mentored by Brother Frank and others that like to do mass deliverance or corporate deliverance, whatever you want to call it. And so we're going to have a little bit of that after a while. Is that all right? But I want to tell you some good things, too. In this verse, he says, first of all, he says to give them beauty for ashes. Do you know that ashes are all that's left when the fire goes out? And let me tell you something. If married couples, male and female, would learn how to stir up the fire in the ashes before it goes out, the divorce courts wouldn't be near as busy as they are. Isn't that right? Because ashes are all that's left. And you know what ashes are good for? Two things. Make lye soap, one. And the other one, back in the old cowboy days out in the cowboy country, if they didn't have any flour, they would use ashes to make biscuits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you was hungry enough, you'd eat them, too.
They were pretty smoky.
They had a smoked taste to them, didn't they? Yeah, they'd make them old cowboy biscuits. Amen. All right. Now, there's no doubt that it comes into each one of us' lives at times, times of despair and discouragement, heaviness, weariness. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever been so discouraged and that spirit of heaviness so heavy you just wanted to get out of everything, get out of responsibility? You know, I don't think there's probably a man in here that hadn't one sometime or other really entertained the idea of going down to the railroad tracks and jumping in a boxcar or something. Just to abdicate everything that is his responsibility. We had a kid that grew up, went to school with us back home, heir to a pretty good sized fortune, the most popular kid, and was voted one of the most popular kids in school, most likely to succeed. Sometime after high school, something happened, and he ended up, he's dead now, but he ended up for about 35 or 40 years hoboing all over the country and had money. And when the estate was finally settled, he finally did buy an airplane and went somewhere, buy an airplane ticket, I mean, and went somewhere. But he just wanted to abdicate all responsibility. He did not want to stand up and face anything. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Man, I'm telling you, I grew up in a family, we used to support the poor folks, called us poor, and then we struggled. Jane and I had four kids, and then we raised a granddaughter, raised five girls. That's enough to make anybody. No, I love my girls. They were all right. But anyway, we struggled financially for a long time. Why? Because I was out of the will of God. God called me to preach in 1954, and I ran Brother Glenn for 17 years from that call. Everything I put my hand to, I could make money like it was going out of style and was always in trouble at the bank. Now, somebody needed to hear that part of this because that's not in my notes. But if you're running from God, if you're running from God, you're in rebellion to God's revealed will for your life. And I promise you, your purse or your bag or whatever you want to call it has got a hole in it. You're gonna make a lot of money, but it's gonna be consumed through. You got to buy a new dishwasher, or a new washing machine, or a new car, or something. Buy a new motor or transmission for the car. It's gonna eat it up. The way to start getting that problem solved is to pay your tithe. I could get off on that, but I'll. There comes into each life a time of despair. It could be in the loss of a relationship. Somebody let the fire go out. Ashes. Whether it's a marriage or whatever. It could be, parents and children. What about physical impairments? Just visiting some of the ladies back earlier. 1934, my daddy got crippled. My daddy was 6 foot tall and as good looking a man as you ever saw a picture of, and could do about anything he wanted to do. He got crippled. But I visited with him one day, and he said, "Son, I want to tell you something." He said, "The greatest and the best thing that ever happened to me was getting." I said, "Dad, why would you say that?" He said, "Because it gave me a picture of what life is really all about, and my responsibility, and the value that I could place on your mother, my mother, his wife, and my children." Now, my dad, when he died, he left my mother pretty well fixed. But in 1936, we went from Kiowa County, Oklahoma, to Deaf Smith County, Texas, in the back of an old 29 Chevrolet truck. Me and my three sisters in the back of the truck with the nanny goat, and Mom and Dad in the front. And we were so poor, the poor folks called us poor. They really did. Oh, I can. Can I tell you one? Can I chase a rabbit for just a second and tell you one story about that? Yeah, I got a little time yet. Dad, like I say, he got crippled. He's partially paralyzed in his right side. They told him he'd never walk again or talk again. Messed up his vocal cords. He became an eloquent speaker. He taught himself to walk. Now, if he was going to walk from here to the back, he'd look at that Lake Hamilton Bible Camp thing back there, and he'd have to stare at it, because if he took one step and looked off, he'd fall flat on his face. But he left my mama because she took care of us during his And they didn't have rehab hospitals or anything like that back then. But Mama took care of us. To work in a cafe, fry cooking in a cafe. Ruined her health. But Daddy said, your Mama will never have to worry. And she didn't. Now, he wasn't filthy rich. But when Mama died, she still had $20,000, $30,000 in cash, plus home paid for and everything else. And she was 84 years old when she died, 1893. Anyway, the reason, I don't know why I brought that out. Somebody need to hear that, I guess, because some people get discouraged about physical impairments. I want you to know something. My dad had more fun out of life than anybody you could ever meet. I could bring a half a dozen pictures in here of him sitting there in his rocking chair, or later, just before he passed away, in his wheelchair, and that beautiful big old smile. And everywhere he was as close to Will Rogers as anybody I ever knew, because I never heard my dad say a negative thing about anybody. Will Rogers, you know what he said. He never met a man he didn't like, and that was my dad. Now, he could have left that, though, destroy him, because I've known a bunch of men and women who got physically impaired like he did. Dad was 34 years old when he got impaired. But I've known a lot that became bitter and resentful. Poor little old me. Not only were they bitter and resentful, everybody about them, around them, they made them miserable. What about financial needs? That can get you under a spirit of heaviness. What about spiritual regression? Spiritual regression. We could call it backsliding or lukewarmness or apathy or complacency or any of those different things, but that's what it is. You are regressing spiritually. Now, God wants you to grow up spiritually. Bring us into maturity. You know, I think it was old Ern Baxter that said one time, he said, you know, everybody loves a baby. But he said a 25-year-old man with pablum falling off his chin is a little bit ridiculous. But he said, we got Christians. The church is full of Christians that are like that. They're still on baby food. And if you start trying to feed them anything more than that, they're going to just go on down to the next place. I'll have to be careful there, too, or I'll get myself in trouble. What about a sense of loneliness? A sense of loneliness will cause heaviness. But I got good news for you. Good times, and there is a time appointed by God for you. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. That's what he says there in that verse. To give them beauty for ashes. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. About everybody in here knows that verse, if you've been around church very long. All things work together for good. Now, it never says all things are good, but it says all things work together for good. See, I got this scar on my arm right there. I fell off a building out in the country. Hung that arm on a piece of tin as I was going down and just cut everything in there. Had to drive myself to town. Long story to that, but I won't go into that. But let me tell you, that's what turned my life around. Because I had a divine encounter in that pickup while I was trying to drive myself to town. Oh, yeah. I didn't have anything out there. I jerked my belt off and tried to make a tourniquet. I'll say this much about it. I bled so much that the back of my underwear sitting in that foam rubber seat in that pickup truck was blood-soaked. All the way down the front, my boots were covered. And where I stopped inside the building to put that belt around there, there was a puddle of blood stains on the concrete floor just about that big around. I was bled. I did bleed. I had a divine experience in that. And I may tell that some other time, but it worked for good. It worked for good. Now, the oil of joy for mourning. Joy depends upon your relationship with God. Happiness depends upon your circumstances. Everybody's seeking after happiness, but you need to be seeking for the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it will build you up. It will lift you up. It will hold you up. Why? Because God, once you make a relationship with God and you come into a relationship with God and you know that God is in you, you know, I'm walking around up here, but I'm not walking around up here by myself. Jesus is in me. He's walking around here with me. You're sitting there listening. But if you're in Christ, then Christ is in you. And the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory to God. There are times of mourning. Our second daughter is deceased. She was 39 years old. Our pastor's son died very recently after a very short bout with cancer. And I assisted in the service. We were down south, but I went home to assist in the service. It brought all that back about our girl. And it even put me basically, because this has been a couple of months ago, basically put me back into a period of mourning about my own daughter. We're going to have those times of mourning. But we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. You see why? Because we can enjoy the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, didn't Jesus say, I'm going to send you what? Another what? Comforter. And what is a comforter to do? Come and put his arms around you and love on you. Sometimes you just have that experience with him alone, but other times he sends somebody else that will come. You know, there's some people say, well, I don't know what to say to somebody who's just lost a loved one. Well, don't say anything. Just be there. Put your arm around them. Cry with them. Won't hurt you. You know, here I am, this old West Texas farm boy, cowboy type guy that little men don't cry, you know. They have that down in Louisiana, too. Little men don't cry. They have that in Virginia. Yeah. Macho, you know. But after the Lord, my experience on the road driving in, and I surrendered totally to the Lord, I cried strong. Anymore, brothers? I really do. Brother here does too. Our pastor does too. And it's good. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, what can we do about it? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If we really begin to enter into a spirit of praise, heaviness is going to have to go. Now, praise has got, you know, sends you to first. We all, you know, we've taught that. We preachers have all taught that and everything. Sends you to first. Send the praisers out in front. Jehoshaphat did that. And the soldiers didn't even have to fight. The enemy all fell on each other and killed each other. Took them, I don't know, days to gather up the spoil. You say, well, the enemy's right after me. You know, I'm having trouble today, or I'm having trouble sometimes and about my thought life and all of those different things, that how the devil attacks us. You know what I do? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. And the devil scoots real quick when you start praising God. It works. It works. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Rejoice in the Lord. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 149. And it says, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the assemblies of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in her Maker. Let the saints be joyful in their King, or the children be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with a dance. Oh, didn't that cause a stink about 25 years ago when people started dancing a little bit?
Get out of the
island. You know, dancing in the spirit. I'd seen that a lot. But, you know, then all of a sudden they were doing some choreographed dancing. You know, different churches were. And I had a guy in my church, man, he just had a wall-eyed fit even the thought of it. I said, wait a minute, Rob. Just wait a minute. I said, do you clap your hands to the beat of the music? He said, well, yes. I said, do you have to be in the spirit to do that? Well, no. I said, well, did you ever stop? Do you pat your foot? Yeah. I said, well, when you're dancing like we're talking about, you're just patting both feet at the same time. That brother, he didn't much like that. He worked for a big oil company. They transferred him away. But he drove about 300 miles back to where we live, apologized, and he said, I know what you're talking about now.
He got them feet to moving.
Now, I don't dance much, but it's because my knees won't handle it. Now, rejoice in the Lord. You see, let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all His saints. Now let me give you my interpretation of this. If you agree with it, fine. If you don't, fine. But I really believe when he's talking about let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, he's not talking about a sword. He's not talking about anything but the high praises of God coming out of your mouth is just like a two-edged sword in your hand. And that way, you can chase the devil. See, it talks about nations, principalities, and powers and things of that nature in that verse. And he says, we have the honor to execute judgment upon those unclean spirits.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagination. That's where singing a little chorus will come in handy. When that imagination comes, you cast it down. You say, I renounce you. I cast you out of me. And then you just start singing the high praises of God in your mouth, and that becomes a two-edged sword in your hand, and that old demon is going to scoot real quick and real fast. Amen. That's good stuff. I may buy this tape myself.
You keep that, you're going to be really good.
I might learn to preach one of these days. Oh, man. Well, we need to share the good news. We need to tell people. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And then Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we need to be doing good. Speak good things to people. I mean, even if you can't stand them, speak good things. Be positive. You know what? If you begin to speak good things and pray for them and be positive and things of that nature, first thing you know, they're not going to be near as bad as you thought they were, because you begin to, what? Create a relationship. Now, what about the body of Christ? It is a living organism. We are members one of another.
That's right.
Now, I'm part of a denomination, but I'm not a denominationalist. I hope you understand what I mean when I say that. I know people that are so caught up in their denomination. Well, I've even seen it before. Two or three guys at a coffee table drinking coffee, you know, and talking and everything and using the Lord's name in vain and everything else. And then one of them says something about church and his church. And another says something about their church. The first thing you know, they're about ready to get up and go out in the alley and have a fight over those stinking denominations. Well, I better get through. Share the good news. Now, he calls us, he goes on to say that we're the planting of the Lord. Now, like what that Amplified said, strong oak trees. Strong oak trees. We spent the night the other night, stopped over close to Hugo, Oklahoma, and stayed there in a little RV park there. And I got out, walked around a little bit, and there was, I don't know what kind of trees they were. I think they were oak trees, but they were tall. Those trees were 75, 80 feet tall. Not so big around. Well, oak trees down in Texas go this way. They don't go that way. But they had a leaf like oak. It could have been a sycamore or something else, or hickory. I don't know what it was. But I thought, you know, man, if you had that, now if that is oak, you cut that down, you could get some beautiful wood out of it. You know? But they were strong trees. Now, down in South Texas, Central Texas, oaks down there. There's one down there in Nolan County, Texas. It's the second largest oak tree in the state of Texas out on a ranch. And about 15 years ago, it was 27 feet in circumference. Everything big in Texas. That was the biggest oak tree I've ever seen. I don't mind telling you. But anyway, the planting of the Lord. God wants you strong. And that's why he uses the illustration here in this verse about the trees. The planting of the Lord. Now, in Psalm 2, I think it is, he talks about being planted by the streams of living water. God wants to water a tree that he's telling you you can be like that strong. He wants to water it. How does he water it? The washing of the water of the Word, the Holy Spirit. Established in the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verse 25. I love this verse. He says, for I have satiated. I think that's how you say that, see? Satiated. It works for me anyway. I have satiated the weary soul. And I have replenished every sorrowful soul. He says, after this I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Old Jeremiah, you know, he, all these would-be prophets that are running around today, and I believe in the ministry of a prophet and the prophet's ministry and all of that fivefold ministry. I'm not saying that. But we got a lot of people running around prophesying that no more called prophets than a man in the moon. And if they really knew what it meant to be called a prophet, did you ever notice in the scriptures that most of the prophets weren't treated real nice? They were not the most popular people in town. Now, let me point out something very quickly. The prophet is God's mouthpiece to the church and to the body of Christ. The priest is the people's mouthpiece to God in the Old Covenant. And I think it's still the same. Some of you looking at me kind of funny about that one. But you'll get over it. God is near. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? In other words, you can't hide from God. You might as well let God get rid of the junk in your life. Submit yourself in complete submission to Him. Now, I really have not met but very few people that I would say are totally submitted 100% to God. But I've met a lot that are sure endeavoring to be. And I pray that I'm endeavoring to be. And I pray that you're endeavoring to be. Because that's the safest place to be, is in the presence of God. Isaiah 40:28. Everybody knows this one. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. I tell you, I want to be there. I want to be. Brother Glenn, do you ever hear old Ern Baxter's message on the eagle? That was the ultimate. I've got that. I've got one by old the Jehovah Witness guy. Yeah, Trombley, and also the old Baptist, fundamental Baptist preacher from down Corpus Christi. I think his name right off either. Anyway, I got those are three classic sermons about the eagle. All three of them. But Ern Baxter's is number one. Rise and soar into the sunlight's rays, using both your wings, prayer and praise. Mount like eagles higher in the sky, and you'll find things look so different when you fly. Amen, brother. Well, Ern Baxter could sing. You know, I'm not a singer, but he could sing. Well, you know something? Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's why it's so important to put a guard over your mouth. You speak. You can literally speak into existence your life and what you'll be 5 years from now. You literally can speak it in. Well, Brother Glenn says he's going to live to be 120. I don't see any reason why he won't. Why stop there? Well, I need to get on here. Now, the Lord is really ready to establish joyfulness in His church. Truth of the matter is that you and I must cast out the spirits of weariness, heaviness, depression, anxiety, and worry. We have to take authority over those spirits and remove them from our individual lives and from the whole congregation. Don't let the worries of this world that we live in distract you from the glory of our Lord. Paul stated a rich truth in his letter to the Philippians when he said this, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. You know what that means? In West Texas now, it says, "Don't worry about anything." Now, that old South African preacher that's back in Virginia someplace, a guy named Drummond Tom, you know him? He said something one time that I've never forgotten. When he first came to America, he was in Lubbock, Texas at a hotel, and I went down to hear him. Didn't know who he was or anything about him. But here's what he said. He said, in his South African dialect, he said, "If you worry, you die.
Right.
If you don't worry, you still die. So why worry?" I've never forgotten that. And that's what, you know, he got that right out of that verse. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, etc. and so forth. Now, stand up a minute. Stretch your legs a little bit. It is now 4:28. We're going to go pretty quick now, too. Okay. We're going to go pretty quick, too. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, we are going to enter into spiritual warfare. We're going to take authority over every unclean spirit in this place. And, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you will instruct us, guide us, lead us, and, Father, empower us, everyone in this room, empower us, Father, to cast out and expel those unclean spirits, those things that cause us to be discouraged and dismayed and all of that. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we enter into this time. Now, you can sit down if you'd like to or keep standing, whatever you want to do. Sit down or stand up. It doesn't matter. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of fatigue that has come against these people. fatigue, you have to leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every spirit of fatigue, you go now in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to do it like Marzullo did. Now everybody take a big deep breath and blow it out. Because spirit, the word for spirit is pneuma, it means wind, breath, etc. and so forth. So by taking a big deep breath and blowing it out, you are participating in the exorcism of unclean spirits. You may feel like yawning, coughing, burping, whatever. Just go for it, brother, sister. Just go for it. All right. All spirits of fatigue, you have to go right now. Spirits of slumber. Slumber. That slumber spirit that wants to keep people tired and drug out all the time. I come against you right now. I command you to leave these people right now. Yes. In Jesus' name. Take a big deep breath. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Spirits of weariness. Spirits of weariness. Right now, you go. All spirits of weariness, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Weariness, you can't stay around. To go. Leave now. Take a big deep breath and blow it out. Spirits of depression. I command you to leave right now. All depressing spirits, you leave these people right now. You go now in Jesus' name. Take a big deep breath and blow them out. I mean, participate. Now, as Brother Frank used to say, if it ain't there, it can't come out.
That's right.
But when in doubt, cast it out. All right. All spirits of depression, you go right now in Jesus' name. Get it? Get it out. Get it out. Spirits of oppression and spirits of oppression right now. All oppressing spirits. All those pressing spirits. Depression, oppression, whatever. Go now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You leave right now in Jesus' name. I don't have a list about 50 here, but we won't go there that far. Anxiety, worry spirit, fretting, stewing. Come out right now in the name of Jesus. Every one of you worry spirits, anxiety spirits, fretting spirits, leave now in Jesus' name. Go now. Go. Spirit of inability. That, you know, that I can't do it spirit. Inability to do what you know you need and want to do. Spirits of inability that convince you that you're not able to do it. That's a lying spirit. You come out right now. You lying spirit of inability, you come out of these people right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Self-pity. You self-pity spirit. I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Self-pity. Come out right now. Come out in the name of Jesus. All self-pity spirits. Low self-esteem and all of that. You come out right now. Unworthiness. All spirits of unworthiness and self-pity. You come out right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of feeling unloved. I just don't think anybody could love me. That's a lie from the devil. That's an absolute lie from the devil. All spirits of feeling unloved, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now. Go. Take a big deep breath and blow it out. All right, here's the brother to that one. Unable to give love. Now, the Bible says to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. All right, it just goes without saying to receive love, you have to what, sow love? You reap what you sow? You say, but I just find it hard to accept and love people. Well, get over it. Get over that. You will not have love if you don't sow. Inability to love, unable to give love, I command you right now. I bind you and I command you to leave these people right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All right, here's one of the big daddies, and we're going to deal with this. Every one of us at some point in time has suffered a wound of rejection. Rejection, I am convinced, is the number one issue every person's life. I really believe this. Why? Because we were created to be a part of the family of God. We were created to be in relationship with other that are a part of the family of God. We were created to accept one another. Now, if you don't like me, you don't accept me, that's your problem because I'm going to accept you whether you accept me or not. I've just learned to do that. I'm not bragging on me or anything like that. I'm just saying that if you want to be accepted, you have to accept me. And rejection is the inability of some people to accept you for whatever reason. And some of them will even, they just look at you and they don't like you. Well, you know, I've done that work, that new employee. We just got a personality conflict. Get over that too. That's that self-centeredness and very much childish immaturity. Y'all got to love me. If you want to go to heaven, you got to love me because I'm going to heaven. Amen. All right, spirit of rejection. Now, the wound of rejection will always attract other things. Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, et cetera, and so forth. Doc's got a wonderful, wonderful manual back there on dealing with the roots of rejection and what have you. We don't have a lot of time to really go into depth on that. But let me say this. If you want to get rid of the wound of rejection, and always remember that the wound of rejection is always that spirit that attaches itself to it, it's always looking for another reason to reject, feel rejection. And if you don't get it from somebody else, you'll probably reject yourself. Self-rejection is a biggie. And fear of rejection is a biggie. Well, I'm afraid they won't accept me. That's their problem, not yours. You just accept them and go on. See, all this to me is pretty simple how to handle it all. It don't get complicated. Just let it, you know, just believe what the book says and do what the book says and go on. Okay. Anyway, we're going to come against the spirit of rejection. Before we do that, I want to explain to you, I talked a little bit earlier about self-deliverance. Now, we're going to take authority over the spirit of rejection, but that doesn't necessarily in itself heal the wound of rejection, because that wound of rejection attracts these other unclean spirits. And so if you feel jealous, if you're jealous or you hatred for somebody or anger or low self-esteem or whatever, you know you better than anybody else in this room knows you outside of the Holy Spirit. So when you recognize something in yourself that is attached to that wound of rejection, take dominion over it. God has given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, Luke 10:19. So you can do that. And if you leave here not understanding that you can do self-deliverance, then you're not going to get free. It's just that simple. Now, we're going to deal with rejection, the fear of rejection, self-rejecting, and rejecting others. Comes right back to, I accept my brother. He's my brother. Too sure about that. Oh, man. Yeah. Brother Hill and Brother Bayou. I kind of like that. Yeah. You know that I... Yeah. Anyway, fear or you spirit of rejection, I bind you right now. If you're getting tired, sit down if you want to. If you're getting fear... Spirit of rejection, I command you to leave these people right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection, you go now in Jesus' name. Fear of rejection, you leave now in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Self-rejection, you spirit of self-rejecting, rejecting self, I command you to leave these people right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You go now in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejecting others, I command you to leave right now. Sit down over here. We'll be through here in just a second. All right. Rejecting others. Comes back to the, you know, the primary law in God's economy, and his brother said, it's not talking about money, but the primary law is sowing and reaping. That's the primary number one law in God's economy. And what he tells us, you reap what you sow. So if I sow rejection, then I shall reap rejection. Spirits of rejecting others, I command you to leave these people right now in Jesus' name. All spirits that are part of this rejection thing, you go now in Jesus' name. Now we're going to deal with one more, because this can really be the strong man in a lot of people's lives. Spirit of heaviness. So if you've been feeling tired and wore out and just discouraged and all of that, we're going to get rid of that spirit of heaviness. Prayed with people last night about that spirit of disappointment. Spirit of heaviness is all in the same family. It is. It really is. So spirit of heaviness, right now, in the name of Jesus, according to God's Word,
yes.
He has given us the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. So heaviness, you leave these people now in Jesus' name. All heaviness, you go right now in the name of Jesus. Cough it out, breathe it out, do something, get rid of it. Just don't let that sucker stay around anymore. Did it go?
Yeah.
Now everything leaves by faith. If you never manifest anything, like a call for anything else, you still stand in faith and believe that everything leaves by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's fill up the rooms, and then we'll pray for individuals, okay? Stand to your feet again one more time. I have you stand up because you can take a deeper breath that way. Say this with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
I ask right now
to
allow your Holy Spirit
to come into my life.
I allow Him
and to come into my life.
Fill every room
till overflowing with the precious presence of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, fill, cleanse, purify. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Katalalabaridio soto yasata. Shitika pianana. Kitalalabaridio soto yataka. Shalalabaridio soto. Oh, now begin to praise Him. Praise Him. Put on that garment of praise. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We glorify Your name. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise Your name, Lord. Glory to glory, 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 glory. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Ooh, yes. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
All the time. He is good.
Isn't He good? Isn't He good? Now look at somebody and say, you're not going to leave here like you came in Jesus' name.
You're not going to leave here like you came.
You're not either.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.